Jeremiah, the 11th chapter, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I command your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice and do according to all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. And I answered and said, So be it, Lord. Then the Lord said to me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I am earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. In verse 7 and 8, God said he exhorted Israel in the day he brought them out of the land of Egypt until this day to obey my voice. They did not obey the Lord or incline their ear, it says, but they did follow the dictates of their evil heart. You know, it's so sad that as God brings us out, God sets us apart and brings us out, and then he says, obey my voice, and the people don't obey his voice. They follow the dictates of their evil hearts. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. And in verse 3 and 4 it says, Thus says the Lord of God, Cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded your father in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt. You know, as we're closing this year, getting ready to start a new year, and we look back at our nation, and, you know, we've talked about it over and over, and we've talked about it that the people of the nation of the United States have fallen away from the ways of God. Amen? And I'm sensing in my spirit, and we'll share a solution, a way that God really wants us to go back to. But it says in verse 3 and 4, Cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded you, your father, in the day that I brought him out. What comes to your mind when you think of cursed? It's not voodoo dolls, spells, incantations, magical rites. You know, God is mysterious, but he's not magical. The idea behind magic is secret powers that allow someone to control the world. That's why magic has such an appeal to people today. The occult has an appeal to people today because it's mysterious, it's magical. And you think, man, I could just, it gives me power. When God says that not obeying him will result in a curse, he doesn't mean that he's going to do some magic potion or utter an incantation like witches do over us. God is warning us about the inevitable built-in consequences. That's what he's talking about, the built-in consequences. How does this work? The Hebrew word for curse has the idea behind it that it's binding, hedging in obstacles, and rendering powerless. In other words, the natural result of disobedience is to make things not work the way that they're supposed to. That's what cursed means. Things don't work the way they're supposed to work. Disobedience renders life powerless. God doesn't have to put a spell on you or do something to you. Sin has powerlessness built into it. Just think about it. Sin, we need to get that ingrained in our little understanding. Disobedience renders life powerless. Sin has powerlessness built into it. The best example is the story of the fall. Remember when Adam and Eve fell? When they disobeyed God and they fell? When Adam sinned, the earth was cursed, it says. What's that mean? It means that the natural productive capacity of the soil was bound. The earth was rendered powerless. Adam could still produce food from the ground, but now he would have to force the earth to do what it would do otherwise have done automatically. Man, wouldn't you think about it? If it hadn't been for Adam, the farmers wouldn't have had to work so hard. I mean, the earth would just produce all the wonderful food, the great things, and everything else. If Adam, first he hadn't listened to his wife. I had to throw that in, you know. Watch. But it was all Adam's fault. You know, Adam could still produce the food from the ground, but he had to work at it. That's what sin does. It binds the harmony and the fruitfulness that God built into creation. You think about it. That's what sin does. The same thing happens to us when we're disobedient. Just ask an addict. Addiction renders us powerless over the things in life that damage us. You know, I've ministered to addicts. They're powerless till that thing is broken over them. They're powerless over what's tearing and killing them, destroying them. We can't fix it. Willpower is worthless. We're cursed. We're powerless. The only thing that's going to set us free is Jesus. The only thing that's going to set us free is being obedient to the Word of God, being obedient to Him. The greatest paradox, a paradox is a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, and yet it perhaps true. The greatest paradox of the universe is that sin promises power but delivers bondage. What's the enemy tell us? What does sin tell you? Oh, you're going to have this. You're going to be able to do this. You're going to do that. But it delivers what? Death and bondage. That's what the New Testament means when it says that Jesus freed us from bondage. Praise God. He came to set us free from the bondage of sin and death. He set us free. He released us from the powerlessness that we brought upon ourselves through disobedience. When we're disobedient to the Lord, we are powerless over sin. But praise God, we can look to Jesus. We can ask Jesus. He'll set us free. Amen? So do you want to experience a life of struggle and frustration? Do you want to be powerless? I don't think there's anybody in here today that wants that. Amen? We all say, no, I don't want a life of struggle and frustration and being powerless. But many times we have such a life. The reason is because we disobey. It's very simple. It's very simple. The results are guaranteed. You disobey, and you're going to become powerless over the works of the enemy. God does not curse us as to bring things upon us as we do it to ourselves, but we do it to ourselves. That's what the word said in Jeremiah. Cursed is the person that disobeys God, because we do not obey. We don't obey. And as we prepare to come into the new year, it says in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, verses 1 and 2, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. You know, as we look back and we reflect, and it's many times because of what we were talking about in Jeremiah, because of the disobedience, our national and global situation is getting worse and worse and worse. Amen? I mean, I would love to say that our national and global situation is getting better and better and better. But as we reflect back on what's going on, I don't think we can say that. We can feel the darkness of evil that is like a heavy moral and spiritual fog over our nation. It is penetrating our nation at every level. And at the same time our nation is enveloped in a thick darkness, God commands us to arise and let our light shine. We've talked about it so many times, that let the world see Jesus in you. Let your light shine. Let your light shine and cast out the darkness. Let your light shine, and the distinctive glory of the Lord will be obvious to all. It reminds me of the story in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, of Jehoshaphat. He was warned that a vast army was coming against him. Three nations were coming against him. What did he do? Here he was, king of Judah, and three nations were coming against him. There was no way that the people of Judah could win. What did he do? He inquired of the Lord. People of God need to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together. And I'm not going to be so naive to think that the people in the United States are going to come together and declare a fast. I'd love to say that it would happen, but I'm not going to be that naive. But the believers can do that. Amen? The people that know God can pray and come before God and inquire. But the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. And we need to go to God in a desperate prayer. I don't know how bad things have to get before the people of God come together and cry out to God in a desperate prayer for help. I wonder. But as we read the story, the happenings in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, God answered Jehoshaphat's prayer by reassuring him. The prophet said, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." Could you imagine? Here's everybody in the world coming against you. To him, it was everybody in the world. The rest of them were coming against him. But God said, "Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So many times, we want to do it ourselves. That's the American way. That's the American way. We can do it. But God said, "The battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord." See what the deliverance God's going to do for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord will be with you. Wow. I don't know about y'all, but that's awesome. And all we can think about is all the bad things happening. Amen? There's some requirements on our part. We have to pray. We have to fast. We have to listen to God. We have to be obedient. Amen? We have to do what He says. And as you read the story, they went out the next day. They had the singers. They went out and they went to the battle. And all the enemy were dead. They didn't have to raise a sword or anything else. All the enemy was dead. As I remember the story, it took them 3 or 4 days to gather up all the spoils. The spoils, the money, the diamonds, and all the stuff that the people had on them. They went and got it all and took it back and had enough money to live for, put in the treasury. Kind of like, okay, we're going to go. We get all the oil. You got to reflect it and get it back to things that we see. Amen? But the Lord did it for them. Why? What happened? Why did God do that? Because they fasted. And they prayed and they depended on Him. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes that's pretty hard for us to do because we think we can figure things out. Amen? Our politicians think they can figure it out. How many have we got running today? A whole bunch of them, and they all got their ideas of how to solve the problem. Amen? God is calling His people. His people. And I just want to encourage us today as we start the new year. And let's just say next Friday. That's New Year's Day, isn't it? Let's be praying. Let's be seeking Him. And asking His and repenting and coming before. We don't have to come together. You know, you don't have to come as a group. You can do it in your own home together, separate. But we can pray. Amen? I mean, I know we're all going to be here, there, and everywhere. But we can still have our mind on God. We can still be thinking of the Lord. We can still be thinking. And we can give up a meal. We can give up one meal of tamales. Well, that's the tradition. And then on New Year's Day, you eat tamales, amen? You don't have to eat them three meals that day. Just eat them one meal. But we need to be seeking God and asking Him. And I'm believing God that He's going to do like what happened with Jehoshaphat. That God is going to set ambush against our enemies. Because we've got to trust in Him. Amen. Can we do that? Can we do that for this next year? Can we do that for the beginning of the year? What is our position we're to take? Our position is on our knees. As we humble ourselves, we seek His face, repent of our sins, and intercede for our nation. I mean, this nation, this wonderful, great nation, needs to turn back to God in such a way that we've never seen before. Amen? So let us be before God. Let us say today, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray. I'm going to repent and tell God, I'm sorry for turning away from You. I'm sorry, but repent that I'm going to turn back to You. Amen? I mean, we can think sometimes. We just think about it. How many days, how many times, how many things, how many times in a day do we go through happenings and go there, and we don't ask God, what do You think? I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, it happens all the time. Instead of saying, God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do about this? What am I supposed to do about that? No, we just go about doing it. Oh, y'all don't do those kind of things. You ask God all the time, amen? No, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. You know, we need to be waking up in the morning. I don't know what time you wake up. Sometimes God wakes you up at 2 o'clock. Sometimes He wakes you up at 6. And sometimes you sleep to 10. But when you wake up, you need to ask God, God, what do you want me to do today? What am I supposed to be doing? How many of us ask that question to God? Most of the times we just get up out of bed and go, and we just do our thing. Amen? God is saying, seek, repent of our sins, intercede for our nation, and ask God what He wants us to do. Amen. And I'm just believing. I believe that we're going to see if the church, a big portion of the church. I'm not going to be naive to think everybody in the church does it, but a big portion of the church would do that. I think we would see God move, and it'd be a happening like happened in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, to Jehoshaphat and Judah. They went out to battle, and all the enemy was slain. I mean, that must have been an awesome, awesome sight to go up to where the battle was going to be, and everybody was dead. kind of hard for me to comprehend. But that's what it said happened. They were all dead. And it took them 3 days or 4 days to take all the spoils, all the goodies that they had on them back. And they were singing and rejoicing. Well, I guarantee you we'll be singing and rejoicing when all the enemies are gone. Amen? So praise God. Can we do that? Can we say this morning, I'm going to set my face toward God. I'm going to ask Him. I'm going to repent. I'm going to ask Him to lead me and to guide me, to lead this nation. God, bring this nation back to You. Amen? I mean, this nation, we've talked about it, we studied it. This nation was founded on the Word of God. This nation was dedicated to Jesus. The founding fathers, when they came over in the Mayflower Pact, they dedicated this nation to Jesus Christ. Amen. This place belongs to Him. Amen. It doesn't belong to the Republicans, the Democrats, Obama, or anybody else. It belongs to Jesus. And we need to say, Jesus, here. We're looking to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? So, Father, we thank You and we magnify You this morning. Lord, as we just stop and we meditate and we think, Lord, as we think and we just ask that, and we just say, Lord, work in our lives. Lord, we repent of all the selfish things that we do. Lord, we seek You. Lord, we seek You and we ask that You move in our lives, in our communities, in our nation. Lord, have Your way. Have Your way. Come, Lord Jesus. Work a miracle. Work the miraculous. Lord, we would love and we expect that the enemies would be slain before us. And we thank You and we magnify You. Lord, we say that we will obey You, that we will not be cursed. And we thank You. And we magnify You. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.